Yeah, hello, my name is Oliver Bach. As you said already, I'm chief data scientist at Eoda. Eoda is a data science service company. We do training, data science services, support, and things like that. And we are based in Kassel, which is pretty much in the center of Germany. When we work with customers and with companies that introduce R, we kind of find four different ways of how companies can introduce R to their companies. So it could be like that R is, or data science is core to the business. Could be the case that they build up a data science lab. It could be the case that there's like a requirement orientation in the company. Or it could be the case that there's a pioneer that kind of invents R or introduces R to the company. Yeah, if you look a little bit closer of how these types of introduction look like, in the core data type, it's like the founder and all the top management is the driver. Data science belongs to the very center of the company approach. They use all available data data sources. The mindset of them is like it's a natural thing to do data science or to use R. And the time to production is kind of extremely short because it's usually already there. It's already a part of the production. If you have data science introduction to R, this is usually driven also by management, sometimes also by top management. It's coming from the top. The data source is usually a sandbox, so that the data science lab don't break anything. The motivation is research, so it's not clear in advance what will be the output. The mindset is, well, just try it out. And usually data science labs don't have any constraints based on in regard to software. They can use whatever they want to use. And the time to production is kind of depending on the maturity, so it's ready when it's ready. There's no pressure or not much pressure on getting it. If it's an requirement-oriented introduction to R, then it's usually the business lines or the management that introduces R. It's also coming from the top. The data sources are production data or business data, which means, for example, CRM data, ERP data. The motivation is solving a kind of a current business problem, a specific problem. The mindset is return on investment and planning to be safe, so to say. And the time to production is relatively short because the time production is already inside when they start the process. And finally, we have the pioneer introduction of R. That is kind of single person uses R. This is coming from the bottom instead of the top. Data sources they use are usually CSV files or some data or Excel sheets or something. The motivation is, well, mainly the pioneer's kind of conviction that R is the right tool to use for this certain case. The mindset is, yeah, we can do that. And the time to production is relatively long. Yeah, that's kind of the four and a very high level, abstract level ways of how R gets introduced. And if we map that on companies then, or company types, we see that this area is kind of mostly the new economy area. These is the enterprises, so the very large companies, and the old economy is kind of located some more or less all over the place, but mostly here. If we look at this upper section, this is kind of the place where the success stories of R are told. So when you read kind of a use case, an interesting case about the usage of R, it's mostly of this area. This area is the vendor area, so to say. The companies who are kind of requirement-oriented trust in vendors. So that's the point where kind of Microsoft or Oracle or other vendors come into play to introduce R to the companies. The competitors are usually ZAS and SPSS. And this is kind of a very interesting field, which is not much attention is paid on that yet. And especially in Germany, it's very interesting because there are a lot of mid-size old economy companies there. Okay, so what's the pioneer's road to production? We see like three main phases. The first phase is the actual pioneer phase, or the guerrilla phase. The second one is the proof of concept phase, and the third one is the actual production phase. The key stakeholders at the first stage are the data scientists themselves. On the second stage, business people come into play. On the third stage, IT people, in addition, come into play as main stakeholders. Yeah, so how does kind of the guerrilla level works? First of all, the company is not using any data science tool whatsoever beside Excel. There's a single person, sometimes a small group of persons, who kind of use R for a certain task. And these people are often kind of interns or entrants, so young professionals. They usually don't have much experience in business, so they just came from a university. And the software decision is independent from the kind of core IT department. So the decision to use R is not kind of decided by the IT department, but by the pioneers themselves. And it's not a strategic decision for the company. And the supervisors, the management, the colleagues, they are usually really excited if they see that somebody is able to do something in 3 days what other people were not able to do in 3 months. That's kind of the excitement phase, so to say. So what are the success factors? If you are the pioneer in your company, you should involve the IT department as early as possible because you're going to need them later on. You should try to enlarge the data science team also as early as possible. Well, that's sometimes not so easy, but there are kind of two ways to do it. You can train other people that are already in your company to use R. Or you can hire other people. That would be kind of tough if you are like a young professional, but it would be a way to do it. And you should get as soon as possible to the next stage, which is proof of concept level. Yeah, what are the risks? Well, sometimes the IT department is like not very happy if other people take decisions, so they might raise difficulties. It's also a risk that you get lost in ad hoc requests from business people that say, well, we have to immediately get this thing done. And once the business department is aware that there's somebody who's really good at data wrangling and data analytics, you can become the problem solver for everybody, and you should be careful with that. So the next phase would be the proof of concept, the next level. Not all companies go to this stage. Some actually stay with this first. That would be a use case evaluation. So you should create a kind of list of use cases. And when you do that, you should have the data availability in mind, the analytic complexity of a use case, and the business value of a use case. And then you have a list of potential use cases. And you should select the most interesting use cases, not only one. And you should actually plan to accomplish more than one use case, because it might be more complicated than you originally think. And it's better to say, I will accomplish 3 use cases, but you can make only one in the end, than to say, let's do only one and you don't get ready in time. So that's a good thing to do. What are the success factors in this phase? Make sure that the implementation, that means the road to production, is in principle possible. You should have a target in mind and don't care too much about details, like how to import this data from that kind, and then you start to invent a package and stuff like that. Don't care too much about the details. Have the main goal in mind. Involve the business people as much as possible. That's because if they are not convinced about it, you are not going to end up somewhere. So the business people need to be involved. And you should not scare them with like statistical terms. Sometimes young professionals tend to kind of show their cleverness by using complicated terms. That's not a good idea. You have to take the business people by your hand and say, okay, it's easy, we're going together, and you will understand at least the principles of what we are doing. And you should keep the analytical approach and the business demand in line. Don't do over-sophisticated analytics if they are not really necessary. Yeah. What are the risks? If you promise a particular success, that's always dangerous. Yeah, you can say, well, in my experience, you usually end up with some interesting results, but you don't know what they are. And especially for young professionals, that's sometimes hard because business is kind of pressuring them to say, well, will we have success or not? So you should not promise anything. You should not stick to your kind of original idea if they don't fit anymore to the business problem. You should never show preliminary results to business people, because I don't know why, but it's kind of impossible for them to kind of see just like the visualization that you choose. Yeah? Actually, I had a case where I just showed kind of dummy data, and we ended up with discussing why is this point here and that point there. It's really unbelievable, but it's true. So you have never a second chance for a first showing your data to business people. You should not invest too much energy into optimization and performance. And the communication between data science and business is a risk, so you should really take care about that. Yeah, if it goes to production, the third level, which again, not all companies go to, this is kind of the implementation of the proof of concept into the production system. It's a shift from laboratory to automatization. And also a shift from hacking to programming. There are two levels of how kind of data gets analytic gets implemented. First, we have the business implementation. That's kind of a chain of processes. And just look kind of the input and the output. It could be a longer chain. And then we have the technical implementation, like connection to databases and all that kind of stuff. And depending on what kind of input and output you have, the road to production is more or less kind of demanding. Yeah, you can have kind of a human input, or you can have a machine input, or as output the same. It could be a kind of an output for humans, like kind of graphs or something, or it could be an output for a machine. That would be like an automatic order or something. Whatever combination you have, this is kind of the demand of complexity arises from that. Okay, so what are the success factors? You should really focus on software development skills. You should care much about performance on this stage. That's kind of clear, I think. You should put the first stable version on your live system before you introduce new features. That's kind of, otherwise you get like a never-ending story when you kind of always one up. And to make the business people happy, it's really a good idea to open up a backlog for future improvements. You can say, okay, I won't do that right now. I will do it on the next version, so to say. So they have the feeling that they are still involved into the process. Okay, I just go over these. These are kind of the software development competencies that you need to have, like versioning, dependency management, package building, testing, profiling, feature control, documentation, staging, and deployment. That's important if you go to production systems. I don't want to go too much into details into all of these. But you should really have a look at it. Yeah, what are the risks? Well, usually you underestimate the effort for maintenance and bug fixing. Some say that it's like the invest that you're going to take to produce something, you're going to need at least the same invest for maintaining the code. So, but usually if you are kind of new to business processes, you might underestimate that. Debugging on a production system is usually harder compared to your laboratory system. And you should never apply code if it's not tested. Sometimes then something really bad happened on a live system, and then kind of the business people came and say, well, we need to fix that like very, very quickly. And you say, okay, there's not much that can happen. It's just one line of code where I need to do some changes. And you do it, and you end up in a catastrophic situation when you don't test it before. So you should never kind of put any change on a live system if you have not tested it before. And what's also a risk is that it can happen that you get unknown input to your code. Yeah? Because you have, when you develop the code, you have kind of an estimation of what could be the input, but it could be somewhat different. Okay, so as a conclusion for the road to production, especially kind of for pioneer kind of introductory companies, but in general, this is kind of a Venn diagram that I borrowed and altered a little bit from David Smith, and this is what data science is. It's the combination of software development, statistic and method knowledge, and domain knowledge. Like if these three components come together, you have data science. But here you see that like all of these have the similar size, and that's kind of true. Data science is all of these aspects are quite important for data science. But in the first two phases, in the guerrilla phase and and in the proof of concept phase, the picture look a little bit different, because in this phase, it's more the statistic and method competence and the domain knowledge what's important. Whereas in the production phase, it's the opposite. It's the software development competence that becomes more important compared to the statistic and domain knowledge. So because companies in old economies usually don't have kind of software development department, you as a data scientist are kind of alone to do that. So if you are a data scientist in an old economy company, you should really make your software development or your data science competences complete. It's not enough to be a good statistician and have domain knowledge. You really have to develop software development skills as well. Yeah, and that was exactly 15 minutes, and all I have to say, thank you very much.
Thank you, Oliver. Time for questions.
Do you have advice on how to work with IT departments or consulting firms? Because, yeah, we often get pushed back when we're doing something with C#.
Yeah, in general, it's better to talk with the business department before you talk with the IT department, because they can put pressure. It's always good if you have internal people that can kind of put some pressure and kind of be your advocate for. If you talk to the IT department in the first place, it might be complicated.
What are the main objections you come across for R? When you do your consulting work.
You mean use cases?
Yeah, I mean objections from perhaps IT or somebody. Let's say, you know what, this is not the right product because of XXX.
You mean if kind of companies reject using R?
Yes.
It's an open source product. That is sometimes not very helpful. Kind of IT departments, they want to have kind of a telephone number where they can call it.
Okay.
And also, it's that they just don't know what it is. It's just a new product, and they don't really want to invent it. So they have something. I mean, why don't you use what we already have?
Excel order.
Yeah, Excel is kind of
cool. Have you got anything for core industry, like cement, energy, power?
Yeah.
Well, people, they don't use any analytics. You know, if you're trying to introduce R,
yeah.
Do you have any use cases for that industry to start with?
Not just here, but yeah, we work for different industry lines. We're not kind of focused on one line, so we have use cases for energy. We can talk about later on.
Yeah. One last question.
Have you had any trouble finding companies that move into it and then 5 years down the road try to backslide into old systems and kind of keeping people from being, I guess, skittish about it?
No, but the thing is, like, if we are still in contact with these companies, they will continue to use R, right?
Yeah.
So what is dangerous is, and if you come as an external consultant to a company and you don't train the people how to use R, you just kind of program it and then you say, okay, this is my code, and off you go. You should not do that. It's really important to kind of to enable the companies to develop their own data science competencies, right? So that's the important thing. If you do it, I think you are in a good way. If you don't, it's really dangerous that people someday say, okay, I don't really understand it, I'll go back to Excel.
Okay, thank you. We need to continue, or you can look for Oliver later in the meal to ask for him, and thank you very much, Oliver.
Yeah.